would be flooded with truth. We bind the evil right now, and we speak righteousness will reign. We loose the sword of the Spirit and pull down every agenda against Jesus Christ. And we say, come down now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for giving us the same authority you gave your Son. We declare that the justice system of the United States of America has eyes to see. And we today lay the axe to the root of the unrighteousness being done over this nation. We stand for the Constitution of the United States of America. We bind up the hatred that is being planted in the minds of this nation, and we loose the love of Jesus Christ. We say to the evil spirits and to the nations that rise up against God's kingdom, you will not talk. Your voice of hate must shut up now. In Jesus' name, and we say, you are to leave our cities. We have been given the keys of heaven, and you must leave at our word. We speak to the atmosphere over our cities, over our nation, and we say, peace be still. We say to the evil spirits, you cannot overcome the Church of Jesus Christ. We set today ambushes against you. We say to the fraud, you now have to be thrown into the sea. This nation was founded on truth and liberty and religious freedom for all. Darkness, you are leaving, and the light of Jesus Christ shines now. Righteousness will flow like a mighty river. Father, we thank you for giving us this great land, and we stand as watchmen declaring that your righteousness will reign. Amen.
Amen. Everybody say amen again. Praise God. All right. How many are ready for the word tonight, today? All right. We're going to talk this morning about more than conquerors in 2021. And I was seeking the Lord, and he said, he gave me some very specific direction for the month. But this first teaching today, and I'll probably get excited and it'll go into preaching. But the first teaching that we're given today is centered in Romans chapter 8, because I believe personally Romans 8 is probably the most important chapter in the whole Bible. Okay? It encapsulates everything that Jesus came to do. And so let's look at our notes, and then we're going to get into it. Okay? And I'm going to give you the first paragraph here. Moses read the law to Israel before they entered the land. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, 12 and 13. He says, gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. So they were just about ready to go in and take the land. How many know we have a spiritual land to take? Amen. You know what it is? It's the hearts of men and women and young people, right? And so God has literally translated us out of this present life, in a sense, into the kingdom of God. Tell the person that is near you, you are a member of the kingdom of God. Go ahead and tell them. All right. And so Jesus, you know, he even said, when they came to get him, he said, you know, if my kingdom were of this world, then I'd fight. But how many know we are fighting, but in a different way? Amen. We have authority to bind and to loose and to cast out demons and to declare the goodness of God. And the words that we speak will not return to God void, the Bible says, but they will prosper in the thing that we send them to do. Amen. So say with me, my words will be kingdom words and cause the enemy to flee. Amen. So we are men and women of authority. Praise the Lord. And then just filling out the last sentence of that first paragraph, we must choose to live in Romans chapter 8, which is the new land. That's the land that God wants us to possess in 2021. So let's start at the first one, number 1, Romans 8, 1 and 2. Let's read it, and then we'll give you the fill-ins. Romans 8, there is therefore now, say now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. There is a law of gravity that holds people to the earth. How many are glad for that? So we're not floating around, right? Although there's some probably that are floating in different places, but be that as it may, there is a law that is greater than the gravity, and every time we get on a plane and we fly, I think it's called Bernoulli's Law or something like that, it gives us the ability of lift, and we're able to be in a, I don't know how many ton airplane, being held up by this law that supersedes the law of gravity. And so there's a greater law than the law of gravity or Bernoulli's law, and it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has set you free once and for all for the law of sin and death. Can you say amen? Tell the person next to you, you are free in Christ. Go ahead and tell them. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We possess the land by what? Faith and patience. Say both. Faith and patience. How many know we need both? All right? And so if your healing hasn't come yet, keep hanging in there. Keep worshiping God. Keep giving thanks to God. He is working endurance in you. How many of you have had situations where you were healed instantly? How many of you have had situations where it's taken time? All right. God is working endurance in us, right? And he's already paid the price for it. He's already paid it. So we just have to trust him that he's working it out for us. Okay. So we'll give you the fill in here. In Romans 8, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, there is no condemnation. So we will fill this one in. The accuser has been defeated. His game is to use shame to destroy our confidence. The Holy Spirit is mentioned. This is something. The Holy Spirit is mentioned only once in the first 7 chapters of Romans. But in Romans 8, it's mentioned. He is mentioned. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 19 times. Wow. That tells you something, right? That's why I'm saying Romans 8 is so key to our understanding. So if you have been plagued by accusation, if you've been plagued by the devil lying to you and trying to put you under shame, how many know you need to rise up on the inside and say, no, I'm not taking that any longer, devil, get out of my face. How many of you fought those battles? When I was a little kid, I was picked on. Oh, Brother Dave. I had a guy named Perry Thomas, and his little brother Mikey would lie in wait for me as I would walk home from school. And he would, they would leap out of the bushes, and they would take my book, the little case I carried my books in, and empty it, throw it in the bushes, and then wallop me a few times and then take off. But how many know after a while, you get tired of that kind of stuff, right? Just like what Popeye said about, you know, Bluto, that's all I can stands. I can't stands no more. And I determined I would not be the hit E, I would be the hitor. And as this guy comes out of the bushes, I was ready for him. I took out the older brother. And then I ran down the younger brother and whipped him up. And had no more problems with him. That's how we have to be against the devil. Can you say amen? We have to say, okay, I don't want to hear any more of your stuff. I remember one guy, one pastor pulled his car over to the side of the road, got up, went around to the other side. There was nobody in the car but him. Opens the other door and said, get out of here, you liar, in Jesus' name. How many know we have to get violent like that sometimes? Bible says the kingdom of God, what? Suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That's the kind of violence we're talking about. All right? So, no more are we going to listen to the words of the accuser. Can you say amen? All right. Number two. And you say, well, what if I deserve to be accused? Well, you don't really, because the price has been paid. If you've blown it, go make it right. If the Holy Spirit is saying to you, you need to talk to your wife, even though she burnt the bacon and burnt the toast and burnt the eggs, you had no cause for cussing her out like you did, Brother Ronnie. So make sure you make the... No. He just was close. I made that up. Okay. you know that. All right. Here we go. All right. So let's look at number two. Romans 8:4. Rest in Christ's finished work. The righteousness of the law is now fulfilled in our born-again spirit. So let's look at a couple of these. Romans 8:4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And the reason we can say that is because Christ has already fulfilled the law, and he's in us. Romans 4:8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Say, that's me. And then Luke 1:6, interesting. Because when we read this, sometimes we get, I don't understand that, but speaking about John the Baptist's father and mother, Elizabeth was the mother, Zechariah the daddy. It says they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But how many know that didn't mean they were sinless? But before God, because they did everything under the old covenant they were supposed to do, God called them what? He called them righteous. He called them blameless, right? And so you are righteous and blameless. You're not sinless, but that's okay. You're sinless in your spirit, amen? But when you walk, you're walking blameless. You're walking in God's righteousness, praise the Lord. You're clothed with his righteousness. Wow. Tell the person next to you, you look really good today. You're clothed with the righteousness of God, amen. So, really important. Let's look at the next one, number three, Romans 8:11. I love this. Romans 8:11. We'll read it. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, everybody say he does. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Wow. I love that. This is so cool. Let's give you the notes here. It says, we have continuous access to resurrection life. Continual. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:2-4. All right. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Or if you're from the deep south, naked. All right. For we who are in this tent, your bodies like your tent, we groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. There is coming a day when this old body is going to be clothed upon with a brand new body. How many say, I vote for that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Right? But not in a hurry. Right? But the anointing, according to Romans 11, 8:11, begins here on the inside. Say it starts on the inside. This is about 4 years ago, maybe five. Ina and I were in a home meeting up in Spring Hope at Alta and what was his name, Ina? Walter and Alta Woodard. And great couple, older couple. She had COPD. You know, if you look at some of these ads on television, it says, oh, COPD is incurable. How many know in Christ nothing is incurable? Because he's cured it all. And so we taught the word, and when we got done teaching, we invited people to come down for prayer. And so Alta came down, and she had probably been suffering for 5 years with COPD. And all of a sudden, Ina gets this revelation of Jesus hanging on the cross, and because of his blood loss, gasping for breath. And Ina speaks this word out. She said, Jesus already took your breathing issue on the cross by the loss of his blood just for you. No sooner had Ina had those words come out of her mouth than Alta goes, I'm able to take a deep breath, not just a breath, a deep breath. She said, when you declared that, I was healed immediately. Wow. Wow. You know, and the healing lasted until she passed years later. Isn't that awesome? You know what happened? It took place on the inside. She already had the Holy Ghost on the inside. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens your mortal body. And that's exactly what happened. Love it. Praise God. All right. Let's go on here. Number four. We have received the Spirit of full acceptance, adult sonship. Boy, I love that. Let's look at Romans 8, 15 and 16. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's what's plaguing the world today, folks. It's the spirit of bondage again to fear. If you're in fear, you're in bondage. Isn't that right? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. You're adopted, folks, through the Holy Ghost because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell the person next to you, you're in the family of God with all the privileges. All right. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. There's a great scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given to you what? The spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Wow. Great scripture. Love that scripture. All right. So, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Isn't that wonderful? So, we don't have to be fearful. All we have to do is stay in rest, stay in peace, because what he promised you will happen. I can guarantee you that, all right? And God wants people to know how much they are loved. God wants people to know that they are part of the family. Let's look. I have a story, but I want us to read Romans 5:21 and then Romans 6:2. The spirit of bondage, it says in the notes here, are our old man. So in rereading this, it says, we have received the spirit of full acceptance, adult sonship. The spirit of bondage is our old man. How many know, ladies, that your husband is not your old man? Right? Okay. Romans 5:21, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace may reign through righteousness to eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That righteousness is not yours per se, it is yours in Christ. Okay? And then Romans 6:2, certainly not. He's saying, should I go out and sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Tell the person next to you, you're dead to sin. You died when Christ died on the cross. All right? Important to know that. Now, this is why people respond to love. People need to know their love today. That's why when we go on treasure hunts, they're so important. Because we bring with us the love of God, and we bring hope to people. People need hope. All ages. I remember years ago, we had a new family that moved into our church in New Orleans. And they had a young man who just started coming to our youth group. And then I missed him. I didn't see him for a while. And I remember talking to his parents, and they said, he tried to kill himself. And he was in a clinic. I said, where is the clinic? I said, can I go and would I have your permission to go see him? And they said, oh, yeah, he'd probably love to see you, although I didn't really know him that well. And I prayed about it before I went there, and the Lord said, I want you to go, but I want you to, don't bless you, but don't come on strong with him. Just be a friend to him. Just love him. And so I went in, and we just talked about natural stuff. Found out he was a baseball player. He collected baseball cards. I was collecting cards, too, with Charlie. Charlie was into that at that time. And that was a way for me to relate to him. And so we talked a lot. And I just spoke a prayer of peace over him when I left. And, oh, Pastor Dave, thank you so much for coming. And I said, oh, sure. Well, you know, we're really looking forward when you'll be back home and all that. So, the Holy Spirit told me what to do. So I found out he had come back, and he was in school. We had a large church at the time down there. I think we were about 1,500, 2,000 people. And we were on staff, Ian and I. And so we found out he was back, and he was back in school. So I sent one of the secretaries over. I said, please go over to the school and tell that young man I want to see him right now. So he comes into my office, you know, like, did I do anything wrong? I said, no, Bubba. I said, I'm going to make your day. Have a seat. And we started talking baseball. And I said, do you like Ken Griffey? Oh, man, I wish I had his card. His card was worth a lot in those days. And so it was his rookie card. And so I had this set of Upper Deck baseball cards, the whole set, 1989. And so I said, I want to give this to you. Oh, come on, man. Come on, man. I can't believe this. Do you know how much this set is? I said, yeah, but I want you to be happy. I want you to receive this. He goes, oh, wow. Thank you so much. I said, your love, brother. I mean, no, we need to put a face on love sometime. I said, your love, man. Oh, wow. Is there anything I can do for you? I said, yeah, there is one thing. I said, we're having a mini camp in 2 weeks. And I said, it's great. We're going to have a lot of sports. It's going to be fun. And we're going to have the word going forth. I'll be there, man. I'll be there. So he got there. He got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. How many know people need to know the love of God? That's what they need. Lord says, give that guy $100. And we argue with him. We give him the $100, makes the person's day. They get saved. They get healed, whatever. They believe in God again, or they believe in him for the first time. How many know we are catalysts? Can you say that? We are catalysts. Tell your neighbor, you're a catalyst of the kingdom of God. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, let's go. Praise the Lord. Number 5. We are joint heirs. That's in case you're going to sleep. We are joint heirs. However, we must be willing to suffer. Oh, there's that word with him. Got to tell you the truth. All right. Let's look at verse 18, 17 and 18 of Romans 8. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, that's us, and joint heirs with Christ. That's incredible. You know what a joint heir is? You get the same. Jesus gets 100%, so do you. How many know that doesn't happen in this life? It doesn't happen here. Not like that, but we are joint heirs with Christ if indeed we what? Suffer with him. How many know that's in your Bible just like mine? Sometimes I wish it wasn't there, but it is there. But we need to be able to identify with the Lord, that we may also be glorified together from suffering to glory. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Say, in us. Boy, I am aching to see what that looks like, Pastor Tim. Wow. How many of you ever got kicked around for Jesus a few times? Anybody ever been there? I remember Ian and I, we weren't even married yet. We were engaged. And we got invited to this guy's house. His name was Lance. His wife's name was Kay. And we got invited to his house to eat. Say, how did that work? Well, I didn't even know he was in town. He was in my fraternity when I was in college. He was a senior when I was a freshman. We were lamb chops. We were lambda chi's. That was the fraternity I was in. Almost flunked out of school that first year, partying all the time. But anyway, we were. He was a big poker player, and I played poker with him. Pastor Dave. Yeah, I was a jerk in those days. I'm not saying people that do that are, but I was. And so we were drinking buddies and all that other kind of stuff. He was a senior. I was a freshman. He was a brilliant guy. He went on to Columbia grad school. He was also in the Green Berets. He was a Green Beret. So he saw me, Michael Green and his wife and Ian and I were down in downtown New Orleans. The French Quarter was during the day, and he came fighting through the crowd, almost leaped on us to give me a hug and just say, what are you doing down here? And I said, well, you know, I'm down here in the city, and this is my fiance. And so he said, well, look, I got to go, but I want you guys to come to our house this week for lunch or for dinner. We'll fix a great dinner for you. So we came to his house, he and his wife, and we had a good time. And then we talked generalizations, and then he looked at us and he said, well, now what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm a pastor. Everything changed. No more warm fuzzies, you know. No more stories about Wittenberg University and all that other stuff that we did. And he looked at us, both of them looked at us, shaking their heads, and really tore into us. And he looks at Ina, and he says, he probably has brainwashed you. He said, I know Dave Newell. He said, he gets into something, and he won't let go of it. And he gets fanatical. She said, no, I got baptized in this Holy Spirit before he did. He went, that's it. Get out, both of you. I felt like saying, but we haven't had the dessert yet. Your promise is this great dessert. I didn't say that. I mean, you have to kind of keep a sense of humor. But anyway, so we were startled. You're kicking us out right now? Yeah, get out. We don't like you anymore. But how many know that, hey, we felt, all right, suffering for Jesus, it's fine. It's good. How many know that's part of the package? Get used to it. Well, what if they don't accept me? They're going to accept you. Not all of them. But you're not doing it for your sake. You're doing it as unto the Lord, right? So that's just part of the package. I have to bring that to your attention. Okay. So let's. We got two more and we're done. Romans 8:19. Let's look at this. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. Say, that's me. Whether they know it or not, people are waiting for you to come out of the telephone booth, no longer Clark Kent, but Superman, Superwoman. And I'm saying that tongue in cheek. We're talking about the fact that we are clothed upon by the Holy Spirit, that we are not just human beings. One third of us is divine. Tell the person next to you, one third of you is divine. It's in your spirit. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God, and that includes the daughters of God, that they may all be one as you, Father. John 17, how can this be? That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, Jesus is saying, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, the Godhead, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and that you have loved them as you have loved me. When you start, I'm not talking about sun rays coming out of your hands or anything, but I am talking to you about when you pray for people, when you begin to allow the Holy Spirit to manifest himself through you in whatever way he chooses to manifest, whether it's through healing or giving money or speaking kindly to people or actually revealing who they are and what their hearts are like. You know, I remember being in, they know that God is there and God is touching their lives. I remember one time we were in a meeting down in, I think it was South Carolina, North Carolina. It's been so many years ago. And people were kneeling down there and we were confirming them just by laying hands on them and praying over them and moving on to the next one. My body didn't want to be there. I was tired. It was Saturday morning. We were up late ministering the night before, Brother Garland Pemberton and myself, and I had a headache, and I just wanted to be out of there. And we came to this one family, father, mother, older daughter, younger daughter. When I got to the younger daughter, the Holy Spirit said, they have come to see her released from a spirit of fear and bondage because she was raped by a family member, not here. She was raped by a family member, and I want to set her free today. And I had all these thoughts going through my mind like, oh, my gosh, you know, how am I going to say that? Because what if? Holy Spirit, help me to say it in a way that wouldn't bring complete shame here. As I said, I'll say it, God, you just have to help me to say it in a way that they can understand. The whole family came apart in joy and tears, sobbing on the floor. Wow. But you know what? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And when we start manifesting the way he wants us to and get the flypaper off our hands and not be so fearful, come on, man. Come on, man, as they say in ESPN. Look. God has given you power. He's given you anointing, and it's time to manifest. The whole world is waiting for you. Tell your neighbor, the whole world is waiting for you. Pastor Dave, you don't have to be so mad about it. I'm not mad. I'm intense about it because I want to see you manifest what he has already given you. Hallelujah. Wow. I mean, he goes on. He said, the glory which you gave me, I have given them, you and me, that they may be made perfect or mature in one, that the world may know, they're waiting for you, may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Do you realize that you are loved with the exact same love that the Father loves Jesus? Do you realize that? Whoa, my. Amazing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. So the fill-in here is our true identity. Our true identity. This is God's ultimate intention, that we would really know who we are, The entire universe is literally, the Greek gives the picture, standing on tiptoe to see the unveiling of God's sons and daughters. Now, the final one, this is going to be kind of neat. It's going to be kind of fun. I'd like for, as I'm telling this story, I would like for Brother Peter to come and Brother Tim to come on up here, Tim Rabelais, and stand by me. I'm going to read a few things. I'm going to read the notes, and then you'll know why they're coming. There is a big, big word. I don't even know if I can fully pronounce it. Huperintugkarit. And it's a word for intercession in Romans. I want to read Romans 20, chapter 8, verses 26 and 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. How many know we got them? For we do not know how we should pray for as we ought. But, everybody say but, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Thank goodness for that. With groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he, the Spirit, makes intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. As a result, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, not for everybody, to those who are praying in the Spirit, and for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I'll finish reading this. Another word where he talks about in verse 26 and verse 27, another word here that where he prays according to the will of God, the word prayer there, is soon anti-lambanomai. Whoa. Anti-disestablished. Okay. And it literally means to take hold opposite together. You're going to see an illustration of this in just a minute. All things work together if we love the Lord and as a result of the Holy Spirit praying with us, yet we must still resist Satan. Now, here we go. I'm going to give a little illustration here. I'll move this back a little bit. All right. So Brother Peter is going to represent, first of all, Holy Spirit, you're over here. He's representing the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, have you ever tried to pray for things and there was a problem? Problem could be anything. How many love Brother Peter? Awesome, brother. And Judy. Judy's hand. Let's hear it for this guy. Praise the Lord. But right now, he is playing a role, and his role is anything that opposes God. Like what? Sickness, disease, poverty, whatever, right? So here I am, and I am not yet ready for my assistant, because I think maybe I can pray about it in my own understanding. And let's see if we can budge him. So, like a rock. So, oh Lord, I just speak against this resistance, this problem, Lord. Oh, this poverty that we've been dealing with. Father, we prayed and prayed and fasted and done all these things and we haven't seen anything, but Lord, I'm believing that you're going to remove this. You're going to remove it. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. This has been going on for a year. I may be better stand back here and seek your face. And so, Lord, what is it that you're telling me that I need to do? Oh. And I haven't done it. Oh. So I should ask the Holy Spirit to pray through me. And if I do that, then he will come alongside and take hold. I had not seen that word in the Greek. He will take hold of this problem, and he won't do it just for me, but he will do it with me. In other words, I have to pray, and I pray in the Spirit, but he will pray with me. Wow. And well, let's do that. Holy Spirit, are you ready? All right. So you take one arm, I'll take the other. Orabasata karabakara babanda arabasidio todoko todokoya. Idia masandi diokoya. Uramasa. Hallelujah. I mean, we got to do visuals, right? Visuals help. Visuals help. All right, everybody stand. Praise God. I like our altar team to come. You guys did a great job. Amen. Altar team, come on down. So if you have any needs, they're ready to pray in the Holy Spirit for you. The Holy Spirit with them will take a hold of your issue and move it back. Because greater is him, he that is in us than he that's in the world, right? And we have authority in Christ. That's why Romans 8 is so key to this new year, because we have to establish what's going to happen in this new year, but we have to know who we are. God's ultimate intention for you is to know who you are in Christ, and his ultimate purpose is to see the kingdom of God established in the earth. And he's going to do it through a church, a people who know who they are in Jesus. All right? Paul said, even though I might know Jesus after the flesh, I no longer know him after the flesh. I know the risen Christ. And so we need to know each other, not just in the natural realm, but we need to know who we are in the spiritual realm. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to pray for you. If you have any particular needs, I want you to get ready to come, because they're here to stand with you. So, Father, I just thank you today for this awesome church, this awesome people. They love you so much. They're every Sunday, Wednesday, they come out. They're not afraid. They're not afraid. They know that they dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. They dwell under the shadow of Almighty God. They know that angels have been given charge over them to keep them in all their ways, lest they dash their feet against a stone. And as a result, they don't have any fear of anything, any disease or virus or anything, because they know who they are in Christ. And so we thank you for that. And Lord, we know that you're ready to move on their behalf. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, let them come and receive. So if you need prayer for anything, please come right now. They're here for you. And then you're dismissed.